start with a set-aside prayer. God, please set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Especially help me let go of all my old ideas so I can live on your spiritual truth. Heavenly Father, have mercy on me, a sinner. Help me to carry your message today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we finished the instructions on the first 11 steps on the last meeting, and I was going to make a few comments about at the end of these instructions in honor of Bill. I did put out the podcast, and I said, how do we stay in the world of the Spirit? And I said, we pause when agitated or doubtful as I go through the day. And Tava had birthday today, and she made the point about thy will be done. And that's the deal. Your will be done, not mine. That's the program, basically, in one, how many words. And it says, when agitated or doubtful, ask God for the right thought or action. Constantly remind myself I am no longer running the show. And I have to constantly remind myself of that. Anybody else need to do that? Because, you know, we don't get a degree in AA and get well. We stay connected to God, and He keeps us well. He keeps us undisturbed. And I have to remind myself I'm not running the show all the time when I start running it. Humbly, humility, saying to myself many times each day, thy will be done. Saying thy will be done from a form of humility, that without God I'm nothing. There's no hope for me. We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. Not that we won't have any danger, but much less danger. And I become more efficient. I was very inefficient. I can see looking back now that I'm retired, but at work in my life, I was inefficient, constantly burning up energy foolishly as I was trying to arrange things in life to suit myself. It was a waste of time. I just exhausted myself. And it says, it works, it really does. It does work. If you do these instructions up to page 88, you have a relationship with God. You have a power in your life that you can go to. You don't have to run the show anymore. He'll take care of you. He'll do the deal. I don't have to be in fear. I don't have to be angry. I don't have to have foolish decisions and have shame and guilt from harmful actions. Now, it works. It really does. And it doesn't work if you don't do it. It really doesn't. And I think that's implied. If you don't do this, it's not going to work. Now, there are people who are sober and probably great. I don't know. But I do know for me, unless I do this and keep doing it, it doesn't work. And it can stop working at 10 in the morning, but we can get back on the beam and it can be okay at 10:30. And so we have that, we have those tools now. It says we alcoholics are undisciplined. I think that's true. But I'm more disciplined than I used to be. I have a certain routine now. I wake up, I pray. I listen to scripture. I talk to three or four people in the program every day. I'm sponsoring or trying to help two or three people. I'm going to meetings. I'm doing this work. But that, I didn't have that when I came in. I didn't know what that was. And so we let God discipline us in the same way we have just outlined. And God disciplines me because when I stray from Him and I'm not into doing His will but mine, I don't feel good. I'm disturbed, I'm anxious, I'm irritable, I make foolish decisions, I'm not at peace. And I don't want to live that way anymore. And I didn't have a choice when I came in. That's just the way I lived. I was a mess. But today I have a choice. And I had no choice over alcohol when I came in. And I have a choice today over alcohol through my relationship with God. and I have a choice through my relationship with God not to be disturbed today. What could be better than that? Now, if I want to be disturbed, it's my fault. If I have a bad day today, it's because I'm not with God. It's not that complicated. I can't blame other people for my bad day. It's all determined by me. And it says, but this is not all. So there's more than what we've just done in the 88 pages. Now we're in the world of the Spirit now, and we have inventory, prayer, meditation, stay connected to God. We have tools now. But there's more. There's action and more action. And then they say, faith without works is dead, in quotes, because it's from the book of James, the second chapter. And they say the next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12. And I was going to do a focus just on faith without works is dead, and I actually didn't realize, but I've written three long thoughts on it, right, Chris? On the thoughts on recovery, and I wrote them about 5-6 years ago. And actually, I read them, and I was surprised. I said, wow, that was really sounded pretty good. And I had Chris read them. He said they were okay. And I was going to, or maybe said they were good, I don't know. But I was going to print them out, but I couldn't figure out how to get the printers working. And I feel so bad with this cold yesterday. And my wife couldn't get it to work. And she did get it to work, and the print was so small that I didn't want to hear the complaints. So we're not going to do that at this time. But I will at some point go over those three talks at a talk, Faith Without Works is Dead. Now, what does faith without works is dead mean to me today? I'm not talking from a scriptural thing or theological. There's a lot of theological implications by numerous people conflicting on what this statement means. This is the book of James. James was concerned, my understanding, with making the Sermon of the Mount applicable to Christian followers. And so he's talking about how we react, how we behave to in coordination which was preached in the Sermon on the Mount. And so faith without works is dead for me in AA, as is that if I start with belief in AA, am I willing to believe that there's a power greater than myself? And if I am, I'm on my way. And my faith is accomplished through doing steps 4 through 9. And I can see that God can do for me what I could not do for myself. And I learn to trust in God, which is how I believe faith is defined in AA. Do I trust in God? When I have anger, can I say the prayers? Can I trust that if I ask God, He will remove it and change the way I see it? If I have fear, do I say the prayers and do I go to God and trust that God will remove my fear? Well, I do, because He will remove my anger and remove my fear. And He'll do it quickly, the quicker I go to Him. And I know that. And then can God keep me from making foolish decisions and causing harm to people? Yes, if I stay close to Him. And I pause when agitated or doubtful and ask Him for the right thought or action. So I trust God. I trust God today completely. And so I have trust in God because of my works, but because of doing these steps and staying connected through these spiritual tools. Now, if I stop doing the spiritual tools, then I don't have any power in my life. It's dead. So your faith becomes dead. It's not going to work. I don't have a power over alcohol. I don't have a power to manage my life. And if I'm not doing the work, and remember, I have a daily reprieve contingent on maintaining a fit spiritual condition. If I stop doing this and stop doing the works, my faith becomes dead. And so it doesn't have any power in my life. And I don't have a power over alcohol, and I don't have a power to manage it. And that's why I think it's so important. I want to keep the spiritual experience alive so that I'm connected to God. Anybody think that's a good idea? And I can't do that unless I continue to do the work. And it's all the tools I've learned up to this point. And that's why half measures won't help me, because then I'll have half dead. I don't want to be half dead. I want to be alive with God. And then I have a design for living that works. And so, I just, that's the way I see it. The spiritual awakening is because of the result of the steps, and the spiritual awakening is true faith, and it's alive. But if I stop doing it, the power goes away. So I probably won't drink today if I get disturbed. I probably won't go to the liquor store, but what about 6 months from now? Or 2 days at certain times, right, Brian? We don't know. So I have a routine that I'm disciplined, and I have a routine for doing this, and my life is better as a result. And the more I do it, the better I feel. It doesn't mean I have more, I just feel more calmer, more at peace. And so that's just a brief thing on that, and try to keep doing the works and see what happens. That's what AA says. You don't have to want to do it or believe in it, but keep doing it and tell us the result, and stop doing it and tell us how you feel. So, and now we're going to do the next chapter, follows right through that, is working with others. Now, if they hadn't started to work with others, we wouldn't be here today, would we? We wouldn't have a book. Now, where I find working with others is the thing that keeps my faith alive, because it gets me out of myself. And it gives me the ability to turn away and turn to someone else, and then that keeps my faith alive and my relationship with God. So if you're having trouble and you've been in recovery and you want to help someone, go through the book with them. If you don't think you're good at it, you'll get better at it doing it. Do it. I did these podcasts, so if somebody can listen to the book in order and read it with someone, they can listen together. They might not want to do it. It might not help them. I don't know. But that was my goal in doing this meeting. So now you're going to talk working with others. Now, it could be other alcoholics, but it could be others. It doesn't say other alcoholics. Remember, it says carry this message. As a result of the steps, we have the spiritual experience. We carry this message to other alcoholics, but it's said in the original one to others. And this message could be used by anyone. Right? I mean, it's the spiritual principles. So practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity. Oh, and experience means knowledge or skill acquired. Practical, so this is what knowledge they acquired, shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity as protection or exemption from something. I'm protected from drinking. I'm protected from self-centeredness. Anybody think that's good? And by protecting me from self-centeredness, it protects me from drinking. As intensive work with others. And what is intensive work with others? Well, they're going to tell you. They're going to tell you what they did and what their intensive work was. And why does that happen? Because it means I'm keeping my faith alive by sharing my experience, strength, and hope with someone, and by helping them, and they help me. I get help more, I think, maybe than the people I help. And people can talk about that. It works when other activities fail. So if you're in yourself and you're disturbed and you're full of fear and things aren't going well, you could start working the steps again, but you could also find someone to help. And there are plenty of people who need help. There's not a lot of help. And I'm not talking about the word sponsor, because that's not in the big book, but you can call it a sponsor. But someone that you helping do this, so they can have the spiritual experience and then they can help others. And so they had as sponsors in the beginning. The sponsor was the one who said when you went to the Oxford group that they thought you really wanted this, and they gave a testament that this person is someone who really wants to do this. And then they were accepted. And then it became the sponsor paid for the hospital admission in Akron. It was $50, I think, for a week. Might have been less. And so sponsor today to me means someone who's helping me go through this. And then Chuck C. asked him who his sponsor was. And he said, everyone. And I have three or four sponsors. People I call when I'm disturbed, people I can talk to. Remember the instruction, page 84, is we discuss this with someone at once, immediately. And since I have three or four people calling me, I have a chance to discuss it, something different with each one, whatever's going on at the moment. I don't know if I'm rambling, but this makes sense. And so it works. I feel better after I talk to someone, usually. I don't know if they feel better. I'm getting nicer as I'm working with people, so I think they're feeling better. I'm less intense. I'm less authoritative. That's an observation, but I don't know if it's true. This is our 12th suggestion. The steps are suggestion, but faith without the steps is dead. I think that's the best way to put it, right? You can talk all you want. You go to all the meetings you want. But faith without works is dead. So here's the message. Carry this message to other alcoholics. The message that you've achieved through working the book up to this point. You can help where no one else can. Why? Because we understand each other. We understand the powerlessness of our disease. We understand the bondage of self. I understand that people can't drink one drink. I don't think one drink's a good idea. Anybody think it's a good idea today? No. Bad idea. Somebody said they were laughing when they heard me talk about not wanting to take a little sip of the toast, whatever the brandy or whatever it was. I don't even know what it was, on the cruise ship. And somebody asked me why I wasn't drinking it. I said, well, there's not enough booze on the ship. And that's probably true. But who knows what that little bit would do? I can't guarantee it, but it might stir up the lion, like Father Leo says. And then maybe I'm okay that night, but then the next day I say, well, I had that one drink and it went pretty well. I could probably have two, and I've been in AA a long time, and then I'm off and running. And then I told them I'll be homeless. They all kind of moved their chairs away from me a little bit. I said, well, if I took this drink, there's not enough booze on the ship, and I could end up homeless in 2 years. And that's true. I mean, and I know that. Anybody else think that's true? Not for me, but for yourself. Yeah. It says you can secure their confidence when others fail. Well, that's what AA is really, the Fellowship of the Spirit, is designed to do. To give someone who's new the confidence that there's hope for them. That there is a way out on which we all agree. That there's a program of action that can change their lives. And you can secure their confidence when others fail. This book is a message of hope. It's a testimony to give people hope. And the Gospels are testimonies to give people hope. And this is a good news book. It says this is the good news, right? Or the great news on page 17. remember, they are very ill. We have to remember that. There's a lot of this, oh, he went out drinking again, you know, he relapsed, and, oh, he's a loser, you know. It's so silly because we're all the same, but for the grace of God. So are we building self-esteem by putting down somebody who's dying of a disease that they're powerless over? We're very ill. Anybody cured of their self-centeredness yet in this room? Anybody? Let me know. If you think you are, we'll ask your spouse or your people you work with and your children. Yeah, we're ill. And you know, we laugh at it today. When somebody comes in and says they drove on the wrong side of the street, 3 miles down the highway, and we're laughing. It's not funny. But we relate. We understand the powerlessness of this disease. Life will take on a new meaning. What was the old meaning of my life? It was all about me. It was all about what I was going to get or what I needed to get or who was treating me right or not treating me right and did I have enough money or not enough money or whatever. The new meaning now is, can I be of service to God and others? And I was listening to just a brilliant sermon on the Sermon on the Mount on Matthew 6, and it was called Treasures and Trust. And he's talking about, what is your treasure? Don't worry about your treasure. Lay up your treasures here. Lay them in heaven. What are you worshiping? What's controlling your life? Is it things or God? And then he talks about anxious and how God will give us everything we need. And there's no reason to not trust God and to worry. And it's so powerful. It's the whole program. You see how they use the Sermon on the Mount. It was they studied that together, the early AA members in the book of James. And to watch people recover, to see them help others. And that's great. When I see people, and I've been doing this 16 years, so I see people that I know when they came in, and they were as bad as I was, and I was a mess, and I see them now. I see somebody in the room here who has two or three sponsees here, and others. And so to remember where we were and how they've changed, it gives me a warm feeling inside to see how God's working in their lives. To watch loneliness vanish. That's interesting. Where does the loneliness go? It vanishes. Where does it go? Well, we're lonely where? In our minds. And it vanishes because we're in fellowship with others. To see a fellowship grow up about you. A group of people with a common peril who have a common solution. Remember, the common peril is good, but it says on page 17, that won't hold us together. The cement that holds us together is the common solution. And so I like to be with people who are in the solution. And then I try to help the people who aren't in the solution to see what the solution is. And then I, with the other people who are in the solution, we try to keep doing it so we stay in the solution. It's very easy to go from being in the solution to being out of the solution. Anybody else do that? I don't have to do that anymore. If I do, I don't have to stay long. And it says, this is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not want to miss it. It is, it's just wonderful. When you look back, think of the people that you've known for years in AA and that you have fellowship with, and you know when you see them, you smile and you're happy to see them. And you have something in common. You may not know much about their lives or what they do, but you know that we have a bond. And it's something that you can't describe to other people. I think it's a lot stronger than what I've seen in my church groups. It's just different. It's hard to explain. I think it's like people have gone to war together, and we're in the same place. They have a warm feeling for the camaraderie, and we have the same thing. We're at war. And we're fighting our self-centeredness together. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. And I think it's, I don't know if the newcomer is the most important person in the room. I don't know where that came from in the book. But newcomers are important because they remind me of where I was, and they give me an opportunity to carry the message to. And as they grow, we grow. So I'll stop soon, don't worry. I'm a little off today. Perhaps you're not acquainted with any drinkers who want to recover. That's not a problem anymore. Well, that may be true, because who want to recover, and that's the key question. I see a lot of people come to AA, and they say they're miserable and their lives are miserable, and they say they want help, but do they want a lot of help? Do they want 100% help? Do they want to recover 100%? Are they 100% willing? And my big mistake through the years, not with them but with myself, is that I've tried to help people who aren't 100% willing, and they don't 100% want to recover. And my wife had to remind me, she had to sit me down and say, Michael, these are not your patients. These are not your patients. I'm not responsible. And you know, when they're your patient, you know, they're stubborn or this and that, you feel responsible to get them to do what you think will help them. But in AA, we don't have the power to do that. See, I can't make somebody willing. And do they want to recover? Well, what did Dr. Bob ask the new person? Are you done? And if they said they were, he made them get out of the bed, get on their knees, and give their life to Christ. Now, that was Dr. Bob, and he was a very religious man. And if they didn't want to do that, then he went into the next room. If they weren't, and then if they balked at all, they went on to the next one. And we're going to read that in this chapter. You can easily find some by asking a few doctors, ministers, priests, or hospitals. So you can find plenty of people nowadays to help. I don't think there's been many newcomers that have come in this room that I haven't reached out to and given them my number or gotten their number. If I thought they really wanted this, I'd get their number and I'd call them, because they never call you. And I try to reach out, and we try to give everybody the spiritual card. I put my phone number on the back of it. Don't start out as an evangelist or reformer. Evangelist is someone who's talking about something with great enthusiasm. But remember Bill, when he went to the new people, he was preaching to them, and Dr. Silkworth said, you might want to tone it down some, Bill, and just talk about your experience. Not tell them what they have to do, but where you were and what you did and what happened. And so then he said, and then things started to change, because that's what he did with Dr. Bob. And Dr. Bob said that Bill helped him because he had never met anybody who understood his powerlessness, who understood that he could not take one drink, and that he didn't have the ability to not drink. And Dr. Bob was very religious, so he felt that he was just a hopeless sinner, couldn't be saved. He was just a mess because he couldn't stop drinking and screwing up his life. But once he heard it, he understood he was powerless. He wasn't a terrible sinner. He was powerless, and there's a difference. And then he was able to forgive himself and understand that and then move forward. And the first thing he did was he made amends to people that he had harmed, and then we're here today. So I think I'm going to stop there. And I hope this was helpful. I haven't been feeling well. My mind's a little cloudy, so forgive me.